You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Passaro. Joe, start with some news stuff here. Jared Cosart left his last start due to what appeared to be a minor injury, but it's always worrisome when a member of your rotation is dealing with anything at all. What do you know right now about Cosart's situation?
Yeah, I think we're going to learn more very soon. He experienced a tight hamstring. He said didn't know if he got it when he got the hit the other day in L.A. and was running the bases, but when he threw that last pitch of the night and Grandal got a single to right, it went through the hole. He made a quick reaction. I guess he was going to go cover first, and you know, something didn't feel totally right in his hammy. They're hoping it's minor. Matt Latos dealt with something similarly a week or so ago, and he pitched through it. He ended up not missing a start. But Jared didn't seem overly concerned, but he hadn't been throwing very well to begin with, and his push-off leg, I would be kind of startled if he didn't at least get pushed back a few days. But, yeah, Cosart's situation, certainly something to monitor.
What exactly is the alternative if they do decide either through necessity or just through caution to give him a little extra time?
I think it's Henderson Alvarez. I think that could be making the decision for the Marlins. He did very well in his rehab start against Jupiter. Now you don't pay attention so much to the level of competition being a ball, but just the way he's throwing and how he's feeling. My concern would be I would have liked to see him do, you know, he faced extended spring hitters in the game situation. He had a full rehab start, and they were weighing whether to go one more rehab start, perhaps sending him up to Jacksonville for Double-A, and then getting him here and then, you know, after that. But he's lined up to go Sunday if they need him, and they could just kind of slot him wherever Cosart is if they want to go that route, if Jared either needs a couple of days or DL is in his horizon. So I think Alvarez could be sooner rather than later.
And the line, as you note, looks very good. What have you heard just about kind of how Alvarez has looked as far as, you know, sharpness, crispness, stuff, the kind of stuff that somebody there would be able to know?
Velo about 93, which was encouraging to them. Didn't walk anyone, which is always encouraging. And, you know, Henderson's one of those guys that, you know, we've talked about him before. He's a little bit like a rubber band. He kind of bends, he stretches, and he kind of comes back. And I wouldn't worry too much about him. I probably, like I said, in the perfect world, you like him to get as sharp as possible and not, you know, have a bad outing or two before he finds his stride. But they're seeing everything they want to see. But then again, this is a team struggling to get to 500 and then try to make a real run at this thing. So they might be wishful seeing as well. So, but all, you know, nothing. I think if he came back, he'd be perfectly fine. But, you know, it is Henderson Alvarez. And I think the fact that he is, you know, pretty much besides Jose, the best they got, they are confident if he says he feels well that they will let him come pitch up here.
The other big issue, the biggest issue it seems right now facing the Marlins is the ninth inning. As of now, it seems like they are sort of mixing and matching. First of all, just kind of what how do you see that going as we go forward? Do you see it likely that somebody emerges? Do you see it likely that Cishek reclaims that at some point? How do you see that kind of shaking down as the weeks go by here?
Yeah, and it's pretty much, you know, they would have had a very successful road trip in Washington, San Fran, and in L.A., they would have won seven games. Instead, they found themselves winning four. You know, they had those, you know, three blown saves, two by Cishek, leading to him being kind of pushed down to let's try to fix him. I think A.J. Ramos, even though they will mix and match, will get probably the bulk of the opportunities. I think that they really, you know, obviously didn't want to see Cosart get hurt, but I think they kind of look at, you know, get these starters back and then get either Kohler or Phelps in the bullpen to help the back end. And the way Phelps is thrown, he, even though he opened the season in the bullpen and Kohler in the rotation, I wouldn't be shocked if Tommy Kohler is the guy that goes to the bullpen to kind of, you know, add depth not necessarily to close, but to kind of maybe handle the eighth and allow Dunn and Ramos to kind of figure it out in the ninth. And Matthew, make no mistake, they need Cishek to be really good. I mean, they're not going to sign Rafael Soriano. They worked him out, didn't think he was better than what they already have. You know, trading at this point is very difficult. And, you know, a lot of teams are still, you know, saying they're in it. So they got to make do with what they have. And Cishek's been so good until this year. So, you know, he was talking a little bit about, you know, physically he says he's fine, which whenever you see a decline like this, you're always concerned. He said mechanically, you know, he throws sidearm at that arm angle is just even lower than before. Not getting it, even though he throws sidearm over the ball to get that ball down and getting that sinking motion instead of that sweeping across the plate motion that's, you know, getting completely crushed right now. So, you know, I think you're looking at Ramos and Dunn kind of finishing up the ninth, but, you know, get the bullpen stronger with a starter to join the late innings and get Cishek right. And hopefully in a month or so, he could get back and, you know, also be the closer if Ramos takes off with it to give him two options. I think that's their perfect scenario right now.
Is Papelbon anywhere on the radar? Is that a viable option in any way?
I just see what it would take to get him. I don't see them, you know, they gave up so much already in the offseason. They don't have as deep a system. And, yeah, like a K-Rod as well, you know, it's, you know, what are you going to give up? How much do you want to, you know, the Phillies aren't going to give him away, and I think there's going to be a lot of teams. But, yeah, you know, you could always go that route. I just don't see it. You know, it's going to cost them a lot, and I'm not sure that, you know, they're willing to do that or they even have the pieces to get Papelbon.
To go back to Cishek for a minute, you know, you say he says, I feel fine, and, you know, a lot of times a guy can feel fine and still not be right because there's just some little fine thing that keeps him from being there, and I'm looking it up here. Cishek's velocity is significantly down. Now, I know he's not a 96 blow at Bayou
sure.
guy, but even so, when somebody's down 2 miles an hour, a lot of times that's an indicator of something being amiss. Is that something they're talking about? And, in fact, down on the slider, too, is that something they're talking about? Is that something that is on the radar, or is everybody...
It's more on my radar, Matthew. You know, and you're going to have to give the veteran the benefit of the doubt that, okay, let's see how he does. But, you know, that arm action has always been a concern. You know, it's not an orthodox style of throwing. It's natural for him, but, you know, that elbow moving that way, there's always a concern. He's, you know, he's going to be 29 in June. So, you know, is all the years finally catching up to that arm and that arm action. So it is something they, you know, they have to be looking at. You know, they have to go by what the player says. And he's not seeming to be laboring in any way physically. Another thing with Steve, yes, the velo, if he could get it back, he hit 92 the other day, but, you know, we'll go with it if it's, you know, flat over the plate. So with him, it's there. He's kind of traditionally, as the weather warms up, his arm tends to get a little looser and he starts throwing a little harder. Ramos, we saw that with him. He's throwing 94 now. His velo had been down. So, you know, these guys, obviously, the more they build up, it can go up. But I'm with you. It's definitely based on that delivery and all the usage and the fact that he's always been healthy and we just know pitchers, eventually it happens to him. It's something definitely to monitor.
What is it that makes Ramos, if not alone, kind of sounds like maybe first among equals is kind of the way to put that?
Well, he really passed a test the other day in L.A. That was quite impressive. In facing three lefties, getting two quick strikeouts and a lazy fly ball to right to end it against three pretty good hitters. With A.J., his stuff is really good. The slider's really good. The fastball's got life. Like I say, it's hitting 93, 94. Again, it's not the ideal closer. It's not Kimbrel or Chapman, you know, bringing, you know, 99 to 103. But, you know, there's enough there. The changeup against the lefties was really good. And he just looked comfortable in it. You know, he was given this opportunity like a year or so ago when Steve was struggling. and he came in and it didn't go so well. He's had blown saves, but those were always in innings, you know, 8 and 7 or whatever. But, you know, it looks like, again, this team right now, they can't say you're my closer and you're my, you know, he's got to earn that. You know, one save doesn't make a closer, but he did show that he was up to the task, you know, and getting guys out at Dodger Stadium in that environment, you know, that was very encouraging as well. So as long as he doesn't walk guys, that's always been AJ's knock. You know, he sometimes comes in 3-0 and then he gets in trouble or he walks the leadoff guy. You know, that's going to be key. AJ's going to have to, you know, pound the strike zone, and if he does, he's very difficult to hit.
And that actually is my last question is he's walking fewer guys this year, and he walked just a terrifying number of guys the last 2 years. Two every three innings last year, one every two innings the year before that. That rate is down. Now, admittedly, it's very early, and it only takes a couple for that number to look different. But do you think he's really kind of turned a corner as far as throwing strikes and controlling the strike zone, or is it still not? Are you still not sort of willing to?
Yeah, I'm not 100% there, Matthew. But again, he's been very good. He's been their best reliever this year, and that's you know a bullpen that hasn't been very good. But all you have to do is kind of just watch and see, you know. But he's going to have to do it. There's no question. You know, in my total confidence, he's not going to, you know, have a guy on first, no out, in a one-run game all the time. No, you know, he's got the stuff to get guys out. He's just going to have to, you know, just really program himself to come out throwing strikes. And he was very good the other day because both his first two batters, 0-2, before he threw a ball, which obviously there you're looking for him to chase something or whatever. So as long as he's around the plate and you know, pound that strike zone, I think he can, you know, be good enough for them to get where they want. Another thing, too, they have this in mind, whether Cishek returns to form to be a closing option between now and September. They know, and we've seen a lot of teams, you need that. If you're going to the playoffs, you kind of need that second guy that, unless you have Mariano Rivera, who never faltered, who's going to have to be there to pick you up. And so I think if they're hanging around like they think they're going to be, and if Cishek's not doing it by the deadline, you might see some type of, you know, more serious thinking of a trade. But I do think that they want at least two closing options as this season, you know, pushes forward.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.